As little Jimmy's uncle was about to leave after a visit with Jimmy, he placed a crisp new dollar bill in his nephew's hand, saying, "Be careful how you spend this, Jimmy. You know the old proverb, a fool and his money are soon parted." To this, the young lad replied to his uncle and said, "I'll remember what you said, Uncle Bill, but thanks anyway for parting with it." Catherine Muniz, in 2014, in her article, 20 Ways Americans Are Blowing Their Money, she wrote in USA Today, she shares the top 20 ways that we as Americans waste our money. Among those listed are warranties on items that cover and are cost as much as the product. Unused gym memberships was on the list, lottery tickets, speeding and traffic tickets, premium cable packages, daily coffee trips. She estimates about $1,092 is paid for coffee of us on an annual basis that purchase that on a regular basis. The top one where we waste our money as Americans is on wasted energy. With those being the top seven, there are other ways such as wasting food and bad health habits such as buying pop and candy and other unhealthy snacks, speedy shipping, paying for things to get it the next day, ATM fees, and buying items from deal sites. And most often, those deal sites are selling products which we do not even need. Friends, this morning we're starting a new series titled Financial Focus. And it's true that money does matter. As Dave Ramsey states, money will simply go unless we tell it where we want it to go. And this statement indicates that money will disappear if we do not assign it to where it needs to be spent. Sadly, we can be like the man who explained why he bought his new car, and he says, "I was faced with the choice of buying a $32 battery for my old car or an $8,000 car, and they wanted cash for the battery." It's true, we can rationalize and justify out of anything and into anything, or worse, we can fall victim to one of the world's most successful door-to-door sales approaches. And it goes like this: "Madam, let me show you a little item your neighbor said you couldn't afford." It's true. Do we not want to keep up with the Joneses? Do we not want to have that imagery, you know, portray that status to look a certain way in the eyes of others? And it's very true. And so our money goes. And it goes to places that it shouldn't go. And our money goes to places that we really don't want it to go. So the series on financial focus is our hope here at Trinity is to bring into focus on how we use money. And to ultimately realize that our money is not ours, but our money is God's money. To accept the responsibility for what God has called us to, which is being a good steward of the resources that he has blessed us with. And I hope that we are all challenged with a goal to begin paying off the mortgage here at Trinity, because sometimes when we get into debt, we are hamstrung from what God is asking us to do because we are so focused on paying those that we are in debt to that we truly can't do what God is asking us to do. I hope that at the course of the next several weeks, we will receive an update on the status of the mortgage, and I hope that all of us will be a part of God's call for each of us individually, but ultimately collectively as a congregation here at Trinity. And I hope as part of that call, as part of that challenge, we all will step up and steward God's resources, not only individually, but collectively. Those resources that God has entrusted to you and to me to share with others, to use as a blessing to others, and ultimately for his glory. This morning we're going to look at the scripture of the parable of the minas. And this is found in Luke chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. If you brought your Bibles, please turn to Luke chapter 19, and we will read verses 11 through 27. chapter 19, verses 11 through 27. Now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Therefore, Jesus said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and he said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants, to whom he had given the money, to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, you also be over 5 cities. Then another came, saying, Master, here is your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man. You collect what you did not deposit, and reap what you did not sow. And he said to him, out of your own mouth I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put my money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? And he said to those who stood by, take the mina from him and give it to him who has 10 minas. But they said to him, Master, he has 10 minas. For I say to you that to everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. But bring here those enemies of mine who did not want me to reign over them, and slay them before me. Contrary to the initial impression, this chapter really isn't dealing with money. It's talking about Jesus, and this is found in the travel narrative in the Gospel of Luke, meaning Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, and you'll find immediately after that parable, he is going to enter into Jerusalem. And once he enters into Jerusalem, he will be crucified. And so Jesus is on his way to travel. The nobleman in that parable is Jesus. He is saying, I am going away for a time. And yes, it's true, friends, that Jesus did depart. And then we see that there are 3 servants that Jesus has blessed all of us with. You and I, we are really the servants. We could be viewed as the servants. Jesus will come again. But friends, don't misinterpret this as being finances, as in money within the worldly system. It's about doing God's business. It's about the spiritual kingdom. It's about what God has blessed you and me with in a spiritual sense, to serve God here and now. And the whole message of this parable from Jesus is this. If you get nothing else, get this. Do kingdom business until I return. You see, that's why I'm so passionate. I remember, you know, a couple years ago when I was sitting at the parsonage and we were having Meet the Pastor. I had just moved here. And my friend Al Lee, he asked me the question, Max, are you aware there's a mortgage on Trinity's building? At that time, I was clueless. I was oblivious to it. And I responded, I said, no, that's news to me. And once Al shared that with me in that small group, it became a burden to me. And here's the reason why, is just as Jesus has entrusted Trinity United Methodist Church with many spiritual attributes and qualities and characteristics to impact this community, to impact the surrounding areas, to expand the kingdom ultimately for Christ's glory, I'm here to tell you that as long as we are hamstrung, and yes, that's the process where they cut the hamstrings on a horse so they can't run, and friends, to a certain extent, we as a church have our hamstrings cut. We can't run like God wants us to run. We can't do all of the things that God is asking us to do. That's why Scripture says you will be a slave to the debtor. You will be a slave to the one who lends money. And friends, whether it's in your personal life or if it's in the collective life of a church, the truth is the truth. And if we are constantly earning, and some of us in our individual lives, we can't be about God's business because we have so much debt that we have to get busy and work to pay off the debtor. And so in your individual life, if you want to apply it, do God's kingdom business until Jesus returns. Be so wise and shrewd with your finances. This is one of the reasons why the ministries of Financial Peace University, I'm so much of a believer in that. To give the tools to those people who are struggling with their finances so they can run like God wants them to run. So you don't have to be hamstrung with debt that cripples all of us. And friends, the church is no different. This is why we're going through this series. In this series, we're going to have some challenges. We're going to, you know, bring forth, and John Odermond, our treasurer here at Trinity, is going to share a status of where we've been with the mortgage, where we are now, and where we feel God is leading us to do. You see, my heart is this. Before the time that God calls me to the next appointment, my heart and my desire is that mortgage needs to be paid off so that it can be placed, this church can be placed in a better place for God's glory, for God's kingdom, because I do not want to see this congregation be handicapped and enslaved to a mortgage. Sure, these things are nice. This sanctuary is wonderful. It's great. But if we look at our own individual lives, what is God asking you to do? What is he asking me to do? He's blessed you all with a mina. And I could stand up here and tell you and break it down what a mina is and what it represented. And it represented about 20 years worth of wages. Friends, Jesus gave you and me far more than 20 years worth of wages. He blessed you and me with the best gift that all of us could have ever been given, and that's himself, the salvation of our souls. And when that starts to burn deep within our spirit, within our soul, we look at things differently. We don't view money in the same way as something to bless me and to honor me. We view it as just a mere vehicle to expand the kingdom of God. Now I realize, having been in sales for nearly 20 years, that you bring up the topic of money, and all of a sudden you have walls go. People don't like to talk about money. People don't want to talk about money. I get that. But friends, money is neither good nor bad. As Dave Ramsey says, money is amoral. It's what we do with money that makes it good or bad. It's how we use money that is good or bad. It's not the money. And you'll remember with me out of 1 Timothy, it's the love of money which is the root of all evil. It is not money. It's the love of money. And so over the next several weeks, we are going to unpack this. We are going to share with you a status of where this church is at, where God is leading us, and we are going to bring before you the challenges that we are facing because as of a result of the mortgage. And we are going to bring before you what we need to do, how we are going to address it, and we are coming up as the administrative board, as the Council of Ministry, a proactive plan to deal with these issues. And so as Jesus has entrusted you, his fellow servant, and me, your fellow servant, I challenge you this way, to at least do something, and don't find yourself in that third category. And I'll just share this with you. It was customary in antiquity in Jesus' day to, if you were preserving something, to hide it. And the significance of wrapping it in a napkin was basically saying, I am no longer responsible for it. And out of this, friends, you and I, we all will stand before Christ one day and give an account of what we have used with the spiritual value that Jesus has given to all of us. We can be like the first servant that goes out and applies what Jesus had blessed him with and basically turns it into double. We can be like the second servant and do that as well. Or we can be like the third servant and say, I don't want to be responsible for this. And friends, that's irresponsibility because God has given to you those spiritual blessings to use for him. He has given you the talents, the gifts, the abilities, the characteristics the spiritual gifts that only you have, that only can reach those people that God wants to reach through you. So don't sit there and think, I have nothing to offer. Yes, you do, friends. You have much to offer, and I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about the monetary, earthly, worldly money. I'm talking about the spiritual currency that God blesses you and I with. And so, friends, yes, we need to deal in this world, in the natural realm, and deal with the finances so that we can more fully and run with God and apply and use that spiritual currency that Jesus wants you and me to use. So that's where we're going. And I hope you're not sitting there feeling like, yikes, why did I come here today? I hope you're not feeling like, this is more than I bargained for. So we do want to, you know, be good stewards, and we want to bring focus on how we use money, because Jesus' message is this: to go and do spiritual business until I return. Friends, that's the mission of the church. The mission of Trinity United Methodist Church is to go and do kingdom business in this world until Jesus comes back. I want you to hear that. The nobleman basically commissions the servant. Jesus, the nobleman, he commissions the church to go and do spiritual business. Vacation Bible school, spiritual business. Talking with your friend over a cup of coffee and sharing the love of Christ, spiritual business. And what breaks my heart is that we get so hamstrung with the debt of this world that we don't even have time to grab a cup of coffee and to share and to communicate with somebody that we care. That's rough, friends. That's rough, because God said, Jesus said, go and do spiritual business until he returns. We don't know when Christ is going to return. That's not our responsibility. Jesus said only the Father knows. The only thing that we know is his commission to go and make disciples, to go and do spiritual business. That's the passion. That's our role. That's our mission. That is why we are talking about different ministries here at Trinity, such as a daycare. We're talking about how we can advance the gospel and reach out with an after-school program in just a couple. That's just a couple of the conversations we are having. It's not to put our name on the map, per se. No, it's to do spiritual business with those young lives, to bring them in, to share the love of Christ with them, to grow them up, and to make disciples. But friends, we've got to deal with the natural if we are ever going to fully deal with what spiritual business God has in store for you and for me. And that's our role. That's our calling, friends. That's your calling. That's what God has asked us to do. Jesus did say to go and do spiritual business until he returns, to do his kingdom business, to be about reaching the least of these and the lost, the lowly ones, the poor, the outreach, the marginalized, and the outcast of society. And I close with this. An old rich man with a cranky, miserable attitude visited a rabbi who lived a simple life. They weren't together very long before the rabbi got a wonderful idea on how to illustrate to the man that his cranky attitude was wrong. He took him by the hand and led him over to the window, and he said, "Now look out the window and tell me what you see." As the man stood there, he said, "Well, I see some men, I see some women, and I see a few children." "Fine," the rabbi said. And then the rabbi took him by the hand and led him across the room to a mirror. "Now look and tell me what you see." The man frowned and said, "Well, obviously I see myself." "Interesting," the rabbi replied. "In the window there is glass. In the mirror there is glass. But the glass of the mirror is covered with a little bit of silver. And no sooner is the silver added than you cease to see others, but you only see yourself." That's kind of rough, friends. Silver, the world's wealth, the temptation that all of us have, the temptation for you and for me to deal with and to get consumed with the things, the stuff, the materialism, and the wealth of this world. And when we do that, we are blinded to seeing truly what God loves. And what God loves, He loves people. He loves men. He loves women. He loves children. And so, friends, as we move through, I will challenge all of us to not be tainted by a little bit of worldly wealth, to not be tainted by a little bit of money, but to look through the window, to look through that glass, and to see the heart of a risen Savior, to see a heart of a living Lord, our Jesus, and to see what He is passionate about. You see, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's not about rules. It's about He wants what's best for you. And what's best for you and for me is to not be laden with debt, to not be saddled with a bunch of debt. And what's best for Trinity United Methodist Church is to not be saddled with that debt, so we can run, so we can fully see, we can truly see those that our hearts are passionate, that God has passion for them, people. And friends, that's why we're here. That's why we exist, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth, to reach out into a fallen world. And so the challenge for all of us is to not get tainted with a little bit of worldly wealth. We must keep our eyes upon kingdom business and not accept the lure of earthly wealth and riches. And all of us must be about people and loving God, bringing others into a relationship with Christ. And that's our role. That's our mission. That's our desire. John Henry Jowett stated this: the real measure of our wealth is how much we'd be worth if we lost all our money. And friends, I wonder, what do we value? What do we esteem? What do we hold dear? Is it what's in the bank account, the materialism that we possess, the items? Or when all of that is stripped away, I wonder what our value is. I wonder what Trinity United Methodist Church's value is. When all this is stripped away, I wonder the value. And I'm here to tell you there is much ministry that goes on in this church, much ministry that blesses my heart, and I know it blesses God's heart. And so the value of this church is not contained in these four walls. The value of this church is contained and possessed by you all, each one of you, with the spiritual collectivity of the spiritual currency that Christ has blessed you all with. When we use that currency, the currency of time, the currency of monetary wealth, the currency of love, the currency of listening, the currency, and I could go on and on and on, friends. Those are spiritual currencies that we pay, that we apply, that we give to others. And I know for a fact the measure of our worth and this congregation is not measured by four walls. And I thank you for that. I applaud you for that. And we will continue to measure our worth outside of these walls, and we will continue to measure our worth in the amount of kingdom business that we do here as a church. And so, friends, as we move forward, I challenge you to hang on, to apply what God has given to you, to pay the spiritual currency to others for God's glory. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your peace. Father, I thank you for your challenge and for your heart's desire for each one of us individually and all of us collectively. Father, we know that your heart is that we should live lives of freedom. You said, Jesus, if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Well, many times we apply that, O Christ, to the spiritual realm, and we fail to apply it into the things that we have to manage here. And Jesus, we pray that as we embark upon this new series, Financial Focus, that you would focus the lens of life for all of us, not only in what we have to steward, in what you've called us to manage, but that you would bring into focus how we are to do kingdom business for your glory, how we are to spend the spiritual currency that you have blessed us all with, the currency of time, the currency of love, the currency of joy, the currency of listening, the currency of blessing people with our very presence. And so, Father, may we truly glorify you. May we reflect your heart. May we not get bogged down in the natural, but neither may we all become totally spiritual, for we have to live in this world. And so give us that balance, O Christ. Give us that insight, that wisdom over the next weeks to come. May you be blessed. May you be glorified. May you be praised and honored for all that is said and all that is done. And may you truly be worshiped from the depths of our heart and from the recesses of our soul. May we truly look to you and sing praises unto your name. We bless you, O Christ. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we do pray. Amen. As we close here this morning, when Jesus comes to all of us and asks us to give an account, my hope and my prayer is that we will be able to show and to share the spiritual currency that we have used to bless others in this life, in each and every blessed day that he grants to us. May you receive the peace, the joy, the wisdom, and the grace, and the mercy of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may the peace of God, from the Prince of Peace, may he fill your soul and grant you his very presence as an adorning garland of grace and love. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may God truly bless you.